Great. So, hello, everyone. Hello and welcome. Warm welcome to Happy Hour. So for today's practice at Happy Hour, I would like to invite us into a practice of appreciative perception. And we'll explore that more. Appreciative perception. There would be some metta in there, some loving kindness, some mudita, vicarious joy, and some gratitude practice. And the inspiration for this practice, this evening, morning, afternoon, whatever the time zone might be, this moment in time, the inspiration comes from a quote by Rilke that I will share with you. It's a quote by Rilke. So Rilke writes, "If your daily life seems poor, do not blame it. Blame yourself. Tell yourself that you are not poet enough to call forth its riches. For the Creator, there is no poverty and no poor indifferent place." Ah, that's quite profound. So I'll read it again, and maybe I'll say one thing before I read it again. So the idea, the invitation is sometimes we go through our lives like, oh, ho hum, humdrum. And our life seems poor. Our life seems poor. And what the invitation is, as he's inviting us, that it's not so much that it, not to blame our lives, but maybe it's our way of seeing, or actually our way of not seeing. It's our perception. It's our lack of perception to the riches that are in our life, to the diversity, to the beauty, to the grace, to the opportunities, to so much that there is in our lives. So it's really the poverty of our perception. So what he's inviting is what I like to call a poetry of perception. We can use the word gratitude, metta, all of that, but let's make it poetic tonight. Let's mix it up a little bit. So the poetry of perception. Now I like to read the quote one more time with that appreciation. So he says, "If your daily life seems poor, do not blame it. Blame yourself. Tell yourself that you are not poet enough to call forth its riches. For to the Creator, there is no poverty and no poor indifferent place." So again, you know, the Buddhist language probably doesn't have blame yourself. So those parts will work, you know, we'll take out. But just the idea of if the life seems poor, it's about our perception. How is our perception? Perceiving the good, perceiving the beauty, perceiving all the poetry, all the music, all the color, all the riches that are available in life. So that would be an invitation, this metta practice in this happy hour, to invite us to open up to that perception. If our life feels poor, even if it doesn't feel poor, let's bring in the sense of appreciation, the poetry of perception to perceiving what is good, inclining the mind to what is beautiful, what is wholesome inside and outside. So, all right, that's enough framing. Let's do it. So I'd like to invite you to get into your meditation posture, shifting, moving. If you need to lie down, that's fine. See what your body needs in this moment. Need to move to a cushion or a chair. Sit up straighter. As always, we'll start by about 10 minutes of settling with the breath and the body. Landing. Greeting. Greeting this body that's showing up as best as it is able to in this moment. And greeting the heart, the emotions, our heart showing up as well as it's able to show up in this moment, whether it's light or heavy, greeting, greeting this moment like this. You are welcome. Heart, please feel safe. It's all okay, however you're showing up. And welcoming our mind heart, however it's showing up in this moment. Bright, a little tired, weary, excited, however, a little distracted previously with preoccupations. Welcoming all of ourselves, welcoming. A welcome, warm welcome to ourselves to set the tone for this practice. No part left out. Embracing and welcoming all. And letting the body, inviting the body to relax. It doesn't have to do anything. Inviting it not to do anything. The breath itself moves in and out by itself. The breath is breathed by itself. Not needing to make it into a project, just allow it to move as it has been moving, breathing, you being breathed for all this time without any extra effort from your part. Thank you very much. Let it be. Let the breath be natural. And see if the breath may be received in the abdomen, not from the control tower of the head, but sensed, felt intimately, being breathed in the abdomen, inviting all the muscles to soften and let go with each out breath. And if thoughts are arising, it's okay. See them, notice them with friendliness. See if you can release them in this moment. Not throw them away like a rock, but release them like a helium balloon, gently, kindly. See them float. Let the awareness cradle the breath in the belly. What if every breath was appreciated? Every breath, in breath and out breath. What if every breath was received with friendliness? What if every thought was received with friendliness? And let go with friendliness. What if every judgment, if any arising, was received as if it was directed to your best friend? Best friend, your twin being yourself. Shifting the perception from me, mine, I am this, I am that, I am unworthy, I am great. Just a little bit of space. Seeing yourself from a friendly perspective. From the outside. Could be either your best friend's perspective, or maybe your best friend is the Buddha. The Buddha's perspective, unconditionally loving, unconditionally kind. Maybe your best friend, the Buddha, hears the judgmental thoughts, the acrimony within, and smiles, a knowing, loving smile. Holding you with care. Your best friend, Buddha, and you can use any other archetype, loving archetype. Who stands for unconditional love next to you. Could be Kuan Yin, Buddha, Jesus, being of light. Or even a loving family member. Next to you, they feel your breath. Maybe they know you so well, this being, this archetype. I'm just going to use the Buddha as you feel free to invoke anyone. They hear your thoughts. They hold you with care and compassion. They see how you berate yourself. They chuckle. with humor, with love, with care. Just sitting next to them, you feel their love, you feel their care. Not because you have to do anything to deserve it or earn it, it's just available. It's just available because you're a human being. And life is hard enough as a human being. We each have our own challenges, every single one of us. Whatever my unique challenges are, in their particularities, as I struggle, as I suffer, this Buddha sitting next to me understands completely, appreciates, respects, loves me, regardless or because of, with all, together with all of the challenges, with compassion, complete compassion, acceptance, and love. It's hard enough being human. It's hard being human. It's not for the faint of heart. The Buddha understands. He understands the human condition. If he completely understands it. And he has boundless compassion for all of humanity, every human. I am no exception, just like everyone else. Maybe even putting the challenges on the lap of the Buddha. Letting him hold it with you. And he's patient. He listens. He feels safe in his presence. Unconditional love and acceptance is available. And now this compassionate being next to you. Now they invite you to see a gift in your life. And they look at it with you, appreciating it with you, this gift in your life. Perceiving it with you. They see it, you see it. You see it through their eyes, they see it through your eyes. What is one blessing that they see in your life, they point it out? In this moment, letting yourself cherish, see the goodness. Savor this blessing. And the compassionate beings, happiness for you. They're happy for you, glad for you, embrace you in joy. So happy you have this blessing in your life. If you find your mind going to the future, I might lose this, bring the mind back. Invite your perception to this moment right here. You can choose to be right here, right now. Choosing the poetry of your perception. To relish. With the support of the compassionate being next to you. Right here, right now, sitting, being breathed. This moment of aliveness. The brightness, the goodness, right here. And now the compassionate being next to you sees another blessing in your life. They celebrate for you, with you. And you see how happy they are for you. Letting yourself relax into it. Both of you savoring this good fortune. And one last time, now this time you bring something up, some goodness, some gift, blessing in your life, and put it on the lap of this compassionate being. And they feel so happy in your happiness, in your good fortune. feel free to continue with this borrowed perception, the perception of the compassionate being next to you. Whether there are challenges that you put on their lap, they give you unconditional love and compassion, or they feel happy for your good fortune and happiness. Awakening your own appreciation and happiness. Feeling, receiving complete unconditional love and support. Feel free to be creative. Maybe seeing yourself hugged by this compassionate being in a completely loving embrace. You're doing your best. They think you are doing your best. It's okay. Held in a loving embrace. And for the last moments of this practice, let whatever came up or didn't come up during this practice period to also be held in the loving gaze of the compassionate being. No judgment. Just appreciation that you showed up and you did your best. Thank you all for your practice. So we have some time for reflections, for questions. You're welcome to raise your Zoom hand or type in chat as to what you noticed, what came up for you, what was easy, what was challenging, what you discovered in your practice, and the invitation to share with the Sangha as a gift. The gift of practice we give supports everyone. Questions, comments, reflections, especially if you haven't spoken for a while in Sangha. And as I invite you to feel free to raise your hand, I'll say a couple more words with the theme of perception. There's so many different ways that we can play with our perception in this way. The perception of the compassionate being next to us, the Buddha, Kuan Yin, to see, because it is available. So we can have this playing with this perception, poetry of perception, to turn our attention with kindness, with love, both to ourselves and also to see the good in our lives, to see the good. As Rilke said, if your daily life seems poor, do not blame it. So, Don, please.
Hello, everyone. Nikki, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I had a hard time imagining this compassionate being. And so I struggled with that. And so I just sort of let it go at some point and just sort of focused on the breath or the sensations in the body, sort of a body scan, and the compassion being was very vague. Towards the end, it may be a ghost-like thing, maybe, but it was tough.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate it, and I also really appreciate, Don, that you hung in there with, you know, with the body but the body scan with the breath, which is great. It's always a great anchor to go to be embodied, to be with the body and the breath. And also at the end, it seems like the compassion image maybe kind of hanging out with it became a little stronger perhaps, or was there. So let me ask you a question, if it's okay. What felt like the crux of the challenge of the con? Was it the conjuring up? Was it power of imaginations, or was it like, oh, they're not compassionate enough? Or if you could put it in your own words, I wonder.
Yeah, trying to imagine such a being. It's a foreign concept in my life, very isolated life. I'm just trying to imagine that. It's like, wow, what is that?
Yeah. Got it. Okay, that's helpful. That's very helpful for me to. Okay, so. Is there any, let's see, so, Yeah, what would a compassionate image be like? So are there, and this is both for you and for everyone who might have had challenge with this or will have challenge with this, is there anyone, maybe a living being, anyone that you kind of identify or think of, someone who's just a kind, loving being? Is there someone you identify with? Again, could be either living being or archetype for you that's like, wow, this person represents love. And is there one, is it okay for you to say it out loud? If not, that's okay too.
There's somebody that helped me when I was a teenager, and so I often think of him.
Fantastic. Yay. So if you think of that person, so is it easier to conjure that person up as someone who's next to you? Yes, I see you're nodding. You can be unmuted. Yeah. So instead of the compassionate, so that person can be your compassionate image. So that would be workable, Don? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Fantastic. So great. Thanks for bringing that up, because it could be a living person, someone from your past, an archetype, someone from history. It could be anyone. So great. I'm glad. Yay. So you can practice in that way on your own. See, great. Thank you for bringing that up, Don.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And just as I appreciate the reminder that we need not judge our practice, no matter the outcome, even a good one. Yes, Jess, I appreciate that. Exactly. We're just planting seeds. We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds. Who are we to judge our practice? It's more profound than even we can understand it to be. We don't want to limit our practice to our limited mind and judge it good, bad, A star. So great. The other reflections, we have maybe time for one more reflection before we transition.
Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Nav.
So I thought I'd share a story with the Sangha that I think would support the theme that you introduced today. A friend of mine used to volunteer with Mother Teresa, and he told me a story of a man who had donated a hospital to her, and at the end of the tour, who basically asked for a photo with Mother Teresa in front of the hospital, and this photo ended up being 15 minutes under the hot Indian sun of him trying to pose Mother Teresa for the perfect photo for him. And at the end of it, my friend who was observing all this went up to Mother Teresa as the man left and said, "Hey, I felt that was a bit rude. Why did you agree to take this photo with this man?" And she turned to him and said, "Poverty comes in many forms."
Beautiful. Thank you, Nav. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Yeah. Poverty comes in many forms. Yes. Great. Great story. Thank you, Na. And yes. Yeah. And maybe I'll put this quote from Rilke in our chat. Let's see if I can do that. Can I grab? Here we go. Those of you, here we go. Speaking of poverty. Yes, poverty comes in many different forms. So, dear ones, let's transition. Let's transition for those who are able to stay. If you have to go, it's understandable. But if you're afraid to be in small groups, please stay. If you have work to do, family to take care of, it's okay. But if you're afraid, please stay. It's really lovely. This is a very friendly sangha, and there's just such beauty in the practice that can arise from sharing. So the invitation for tonight, as we get in small groups, is again to start with 30 seconds of silent metta for each other and receiving it from others. And then after the 30 seconds, you're invited to speak from your practice, from your personal experience. how this practice was for you, what worked, what didn't, just sharing with the Sangha, and the Sangha holding with care, with compassion. And you can share as little or as much as you wish. So with that, making the groups now, and you can start with your with your metta, with your silent metta for the community. And I'm opening the groups now. Here we go. Hey everyone, welcome back. So we've got a couple of minutes for reflections. Nicholas, please, that hand shot right up. Tell me, what's up?
On behalf of others in my group, it's anonymous. They came up that the person that came up for them was brought grief because they had passed or they were in poor health. And so I thought that might be something for a lot of people that would be helpful to discuss. It's like whether to bring that person in this case, or how to cope with grief also coming in.
How to work with that. Yeah. That's a good point. And this practice is intended to support the perception through a compassionate being and not to bring up grief. So if this particular being is bringing up grief, then it's skillful to bow to them, love them, thank them, and invite another compassionate being until a day when this being coming up doesn't bring up grief. I'll share with you, for example, a lot of times a person who comes up is my mom for me, who passed away 3 years ago. And I love her dearly and I still miss her. And there is no grief. There is just a sense of love, that complete love engulfing. So until that can happen, it is skillful to use a different compassionate image. Yeah, thanks, Nicholas. Thanks for bringing that up. Fred, please.
I've been immersed in grief the last few months as my wife has died a couple of months ago, and that has been the state of things for me for these last few months. But the person who came up for me was Anne, was my wife, in a way that was not grief at all, but just the seeing the person I have loved so much for so long in a beautiful vision. And I wasn't trying to conjure her up, but she's on my mind all the time, but she stepped in a way that I hadn't experienced in the last couple of months. And I'll go back to grieving her, as soon as we're done. But she's, it was nice just to have that, the visit from her in that way, and surprising.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm allowing myself to feel the grace and the beauty of that, and the smile on your face that just flashed for a moment at the end, just the brightness of your love for her and her love for you, that the opening to that, to just be held with love, to love and be loved for a moment, and going back to grief. Yes, hello grief, I'm going to come back to you. And for that gift. Thank you so much for sharing that, Fred. Thank you. So, dear ones, thank you so much for your wholehearted practice and for sharing of yourself. May all of you, may all of us, may all beings be happy and free. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. thank you for showing up and for your practice. And now, as we have